Hey, it's Doug from the future. It's Editing Doug. And I realized in this episode, I wanted to provide some actual takeaways. And I'll do it at the beginning of the video instead of the very end of the podcast episode here. So if you hear the echo, I'm recording it on my phone. So this is kind of like an out in the field situation here. I have my Christmas sweater on and everything. The main takeaway is something you've heard before and something I know, and it's something that we've probably talked about. If you look at metrics, if you are looking at something that you're measuring, it gets managed, as they say. Basically, I wasn't looking at the information on a regular basis as far as whatever metrics. It doesn't even matter if it's business or it's health or counting calories or whatever. If you're looking at the data and you're thinking about it, it gives you some really baseline, and it's front of mind. And I just wasn't doing any of that, which it turns out it's okay for what I'm, you know, couple areas of my life. But one that I really want to focus on is the health and fitness. And that's sort of the main story today. So main takeaway, if you want to improve on something or even just put more focus into a thing, look at the metrics, journal about it daily. It doesn't even have to be long. It could be like 3 to 5 minutes each morning or evening where you're thinking about the thing that you're working on. And again, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be like learning an instrument, a language, exercising more, eating better, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is you're working on, you could spend that time focusing on it just a little bit more and you'll make much more progress. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Doug Show. I'm Doug Cunnington, and today it's going to be a little bit of a random episode. I'll cover a few topics. I'll talk about maybe what my goals of 2025 were and why I didn't accomplish them. And I'll let you in on a secret. I didn't go back and try to look at what my quote goals were. If you're a longtime follower of the show, which I think most people are, there's not a lot of new people popping on, but there's several hundred of you that do listen to the show on a regular basis. And that's in the audio and video side. And I'm not, you know, out there trying to promote it. But anyway, you have been listening for a while, and probably I see the stats, which are not many that you get from podcasting, but I can see consistently y'all listen. And you may remember that I probably talked about a few things early in the year, and over the years, I usually, because everyone does like these year end type episodes, well, I do them too, but I usually do a poor job and I don't do resolutions. And at the beginning of the year, it's arbitrary to start something at the beginning of the year. Sometimes it works out timing wise. Most of the time I just do stuff whenever. And I'll talk about a couple of those things, and I'll talk about, you know, probably some of the stuff that I mentioned earlier this year. I'm almost certain that I talked about it, but I just don't remember any details. And I will open with a little story. At least two stories, but the one I'm thinking of is, I recently got a new Apple Watch. The one I had, it was like 5 or 6 years old, and it was like just horrible battery life. It would only last for a few hours. I was charging it through the day, which was not a huge deal. I mean, I was still able to use it when I needed to, and it would last through the night, use it for sleep tracking. But anyway, it actually just died and it wouldn't hold a charge. And I was like, I'm going to go without the watch for a little while and see how it goes. Cause it's, you know, somewhat of a distraction. And I thought maybe it's an unproductive thing for me to obsessively check stats on my phone. Usually it's like health stats. So I was like, all right, I'll just see what it's like for a couple weeks. Turns out I did like less activity. So it turns out that I should be, you know, using my watch in a positive way, which I guess I was doing, because I was like more active and I was doing like just
you know, more steps, more cardio, more working out in general. And I could clearly see it in the activity level, but then I also took a quick peek at my, like my VO2, my cardio level as reported by the Apple Watch on my iPhone. And it was like clearly lower. And I'm like, oh yeah, I literally have been doing less cardio type stuff. So, and you know, I got the new watch a couple weeks later. I think I got like the Black Friday deal. I didn't get like the latest and greatest. I just got like kind of comparable, but I was using like a Apple Watch 4. And I think they're on number 11 or something like that. So I tend to keep stuff for a long time. And I was like, do I need all this shit on my watch? Or is it just fine without? But turns out I use the watch to drive and motivate my activity level because I'm looking at it. I'm looking at those metrics and I'm looking at it multiple times a day. So it turns out to be a positive thing for me. On the other side of the coin, the goals, or at least some of the things that I talked about earlier in the year and over the years, I was not tracking in any capacity at all. So I didn't do much of these things. I did some other stuff instead, which I'll talk about. So number one, I think I talked about reading and like maybe reading a little bit more than I did in previous years. Although my reading level has been higher. I have gone back to nonfiction books because I took a break for probably a couple years. I wasn't as interested, at least especially in the self-help or business area. I was like, I don't care about these books. And actually someone just invited me to go to a fairly small, like brand new conference. And I won't mention it because I'm not going to go, but I'll just say it was lightly business related, self-improvement. They kind of go hand in hand in some capacities. And I was like, I'm not trying to over-optimize. I spent many couple decades like trying to optimize and like, all right, how can I squeeze out efficiency? And I'm actively trying not to do that kind of stuff because of just, you know, obsession on stuff that doesn't matter too much. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to go to that conference. So I politely declined. I was like, yeah. I don't have to explain why to the person. I was just like, I'm not a good fit for that one, but it sounds pretty cool. Just not a good fit for me. So I think the person accepted my answer. I mean, because I didn't give a reason, they couldn't try to convince me. And it was a friendly note, like, hey, I'm putting on this conference. If you want to come, it could be cool. It's going to be very, pretty small, like under 100 people. So pretty tight. All that said, I have read more books just generally in the nonfiction area. And I think some of them are, like I said, outside of the, you know, normal self-help. So I think I read one about Yellowstone. I do remember that. In that book, the person mentioned a book about ravens, the flying bird animal, ravens. And I was like, oh, that book sounds cool. And I found it on eBay. It's a little trick that I do. You can go to eBay, often find used books for, 90%, it's under $5. It's like $4.50. Sometimes it might be like $5. Usually it's free shipping. So I'll like take a peek at some other books that I might be interested in that from that same store. Usually it's like a Goodwill or something like that that has figured out a process where they're selling books for very cheap, free shipping, and it's awesome. So I bought the Raven book. I haven't read that one yet, but I have it on the shelf. So I do read, I'm always reading a fiction book that I read just before bed. And I, you know, go to the library, you know, the Libby app. I don't physically go to the library. And then I just download it on my Kindle. But I'm always reading a book before bed, usually for 15 or 20 minutes. If it's really good, maybe a little bit longer. But usually I'll read until I get sleepy. And I haven't looked, but I bet I read at least 20 fiction books this year. And at the end of the year, I'll take a quick look because I can see how many books I'm reading, but I don't look on a regular basis where I'm like, oh, I really need to like work through this book. I just read at my own pace. It's not like a fucking college class or anything like that. So books, that's one thing that I know is like, I think I'm going to read more and I'm going to tell you about it. And then I didn't do any of that. Just reading at my own pace. Other big topic, which I do enjoy, is journaling. And I have journaled off and on. Again, similar kind of thing. I'm not trying to like do anything every single day or anything like that. It's just when I feel like it, when I want to. And usually I'll have some sort of a, you know, busier time or less busy time. And I'm like, you know what? I should write some of this stuff down. And sometimes it's like a brain dump situation. Sometimes it's show ideas or other creative ideas that I'm thinking about, video ideas. Other times it's like, oh yeah, I'm going on a vacation and I want to, you know, journal so we can remember like what we were up to on these specific days, where we were at, because you tend to forget that stuff pretty quickly. But if you write it down, you actually can go revisit those ideas and the, you know, just documenting what you did on those days. And it's kind of fun to go back often. You know, nowadays we have our phones with cameras on there. We're snapping pictures all the time. So you can kind of cross-reference the two. You have the date, you have the time, you have some photos. So if you want to, you know, go reminisce, you can go back and check those out, which is kind of fun to do. So journaling, again, I haven't tried to get too deep into it or have a regular practice or anything like that. And it is interesting because I know I got more interested in sort of the bullet journaling style through some YouTube videos. And then like YouTube's very interesting because it keeps feeding you stuff and it keeps, you know, getting you deeper into whatever topic area, subculture thing. And if you're not careful, you end up thinking like all this stuff is so important and so critical. Like you're doing journaling wrong if you don't do this. And it's like, God, come on, dude. Like we're all just trying our best. You don't have to do everything right all the fucking time. So, and it's so stressful to try because like, basically if you are thinking in that way, you're doing most stuff wrong most of the time anyway. So like it's fool's errand. I mean, don't not try to improve yourself, but you know, with moderation, right? With moderation. So anyway, journaling, I should probably do a little bit more. Thing is, I love, like I enjoy it so much. I was, actually have several, like little field notebooks, but cool thing, my wife, she started making like little notebooks. So this is like hand bound. She went to, I think it was some sort of a Japanese style binding. So she made a couple like journals and like printed photos of, I think it's all dogs. So it's all our old dog Brody. And then Georgie's in here too. I think it's all dogs in here, which is fun. It's pretty funny. So like she printed out the photos on the paper that she used and then folded it together and then, you know, actually like threaded the, you know, the binding through here, which is pretty cool. Cause I love these little journals. The funny thing is I ordered a handful of them. I think I have maybe like five or six of them unused. I'm not blowing through them. And then she made me a couple. And I think maybe I like bought some from Field Notes, which I mean, they're not super expensive. They're like fairly high quality, but they're probably overpriced. Like you can get a comparable one probably at Walmart or fill in your discount store that are like 90% the same. And you could probably get them for one third of the price or something like that. Like most journals, like you can get a Moleskine or a, what are those? There's so many different kinds, but you know, you can get like fancier, thicker paper or like the fancier brand that's made in Italy, or you could buy like the cheap one on Amazon, or you can get them at Walmart and they will be, like I said, a third of the price, something like that. They're very cheap. But anyway, my wife made a couple of those. So, and you can use them for anything, you know, keep notes, use a to-do list, a grocery list, whatever. And I like carry them around all the time, but I just haven't been writing in them as much. But I'm trying to do a little bit more of it because I realized being real lazy coming up with show ideas, not this one or any of the ones you could think of, but I often now I'm like, oh, I need to record some shows, get some interviews lined up, all that. I do enjoy it. In fact, I heard from Paul, I guess you'll check out this show. Paul, you sent me an email and you were like, hey, I just want to let you know, I don't even know if you're going to get this, but you were like, hey, you were the number one podcast or YouTube channel that Paul consumed. It was me, but like the Doug Cunnington channel. And thank you for letting me know, because I'm definitely at a point where like I'm looking at the stats and there's not, you know, there's not nearly as many people, but I'm doing this because I enjoy it. And I know there are several dozen folks out there that are still paying attention, and you must enjoy it too. And there's, you know, maybe it's just my soothing voice or long drawn out stories with no actual point that help you fall asleep before bed. That was a common thing that I would hear from folks. I'd meet them in person or I'd talk to them like after an interview, for example. They're like, yeah, I do listen to the show. Funny thing, I listened to it before bed, fall asleep with you talking to me. And I was like, okay, like whatever it takes. But Paul said he listens. All that to say, if I write down some ideas, which I actually had some good ideas recently, and I was like, oh, I better write this down so I don't fucking forget and I can actually record it for a show. So I mentioned a couple things that I didn't really follow up on as far as reaching a goal or a habit with the journaling. I have been playing the guitar a lot more, and I'm trying to think. I got a couple guitars. Maybe I got one guitar this year. I don't remember. Maybe I got two. I did sell one, which was cool. I mentioned it on a show here, and I bought it for, you know, what I thought was a good deal, probably fair market price out there. I sold it for a little bit more than I bought it for, which was really cool because I got to enjoy it for a while, and I sold it to someone who looked like they were going to enjoy it. And the thing is, with a guitar, the market price is a range, and there's, you know, obviously many different factors, timing, supply and demand, and what the person's looking for at the specific time. Obviously, even if you have like a perfect person to buy the thing that you're selling and they want that exactly, but you're off by 3 weeks or a month or 3 months or whatever, then you're not going to get that, you know, higher price. You may get a lower price if you can't find the right person at the right time. So if it does work out, then maybe you'll be able to get something at a good deal because supply and demand, or maybe you'll be able to sell it for a little bit more. And if you are patient and lucky, and I was patient and lucky in this case, able to sell it. Anyway, all that said, I've been playing more, and I've been playing with other musicians. So a friend of mine, Tyler, he's on drums. I played with him more often, and that's been super fun. Matt Giovannisi came out and jammed with us the other day. Really fun. Matt was on bass, and yeah, we just improvised and made a lot of noise, and it was really fun and low pressure. Fun was had by all. So really awesome. And I'm enjoying the music portion. And someone heard me talking about the Sonora Guitar Intensive, which is a guitar, you know, online instruction. It's out there to really compete with like conservancy type music schools, like guitar schools, where people would be paying basically tuition, right? This is it's set up more like a school, more serious, it's professional. And I don't have those ambitions. I'm just trying to, you know, learn a little bit more. So a listener said, hey, I've been using Pickup Music, which is, I gotta be honest, it looks pretty close to the same kind of offering. They even have office hours and, you know, the same kinds of courses. From what I could tell, I did not take Sonora Guitar Intensive, but Pickup Music has curriculum, and they're like, you could go through these things. We kind of suggest you go through this path. And each course is about, I think they recommend taking about 3 months for each, you know, big sort of bigger course. And I just finished up one of those, and it's great because they go at a slow pace and they give you exercises to reinforce the ideas, you know, mentally and physically. You know, there's some muscle memory aspect with playing the guitar. And I literally can tell that I've gotten much better in the last 3 months. And that includes like the improvising with friends, which is, you know, what I'm trying to do. So pretty awesome. I've been spending more time on that. There was a whole saga, which I'm not 100% sure how I'll cover it. Maybe I'll just do it on one of these episodes, but the guitar behind me over here, it's a Les Paul tribute. And I guess the viewers out there that can see the guitar back there and have a keen eye, you'll notice the pickups are different. So it has like a zebra style pickups, which is black and white and alternating colors, instead of the chrome cover that was there before. So I replaced the pickups. It was a technical challenge, and really I had to work on it, and it took a few weeks and sounds great now. Turns out some of the parts I was using, they were bad. So I think I made a couple like light mistakes, but no huge issues. Basically, like if you're wiring something up and you haven't soldered in a while, you may make a little mistake. There could be a grounding wire or, you know, something that's not supposed to happen, like some wires touching, but you could test that. And in my case, none of that was an issue. Some of the pots were bad. So out of the four potentiometers, two of them were bad. And I figured it out by just bypassing them. I was like, well, if it works when I take it out of the circuit, then that's the part that's bad. So I did that methodically and actually just kind of, you know, hardwired some things so that I could play the guitar while it was still with the bad pots in there. But, you know, I was unable to control the volume or the tone, respectively. Eventually, I fixed it. And overall, yeah, music has been really cool. I'm working on a Christmas bluegrass tune with my wife, who's playing banjo. And it's been... it's a tough arrangement. I will publish, or I'll figure out how to share that out there. You know what? I should be able to put the music out there in one of these episodes coming up, because we actually have been recording to kind of track our progress and just listen and see how we do. And there's like a local friends group recital that we've been doing for a couple years, and we're going to perform it in about a week, which makes me a little nervous. Most of the time we play it pretty well, but it's pretty hard. And we mess up lightly, maybe one out of three times. So if things go right, we'll play it very well on the recital day at that time. But we're practicing pretty much every day, but we still have some hiccups along the way, which I hope we'll have a good take. Now, one thing I want to talk about that I didn't mention at the opening, and maybe I'll do a longer episode coming up, but I listened to the Tim Ferriss podcast, recent episode with Kevin Rose. They do what they call a random show, and they just catch up. I think they might do it about once a quarter or so. And they're buddies. It gives them a chance to catch up. So they'll just, you know, talk about things that are going on. And it might be something business related. A lot of times it's health related. And it could just be their random interest or travel or whatever it is that they're doing, researching, and they just want to tell the other one about it. So one of the things Kevin Rose talked about, he's a big technologist and really follows stuff very closely. And he was going on and on about AI. And one of the points he made was around like developers using AI and maybe saying, hey, yeah, I tried AI and it's actually not coding very well. It actually doesn't make it faster for me. And, you know, it's not that great. And then Kevin said, oh, what version or like, what were you using or when was it when you tested it? And they were like, I don't know. It was like 6 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever, whatever answer they give. And he said, oh, it's 10 times better than it was back then. And it made me realize, you know, I've done a couple episodes recently, maybe unfairly, where I was like, you know, don't use AI too much. Like, it can make you dumb. I've mentioned it in passing where it's just like, man, these AI overview results, they're real bad. They're real bad because of the way the information is gathered. And it's not something that I would rely on probably 99% of the time, these AI overviews, but that's very different than someone maybe using an AI tool for coding, like Kevin was mentioning. Now, I haven't tried that. And recently, in several episodes, I've been like, the vibe coding thing, I'm not sure I love that. But used properly, like maybe it's totally fine. So anyway, all that to say, I've gone back and forth over and over again with AI. And in the beginning, I was like, these AI tools like Jasper, not really saving that much time for me. I tested them out and I was like, these are really shitty. Then they got better. ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, on and on. They've gotten better and better and better. Obviously, they are very awesome compared to what they were. And I was using some of these tools often. And then all of a sudden, these AI overviews using search were kind of poor. And I think I did an episode maybe a couple months ago. I was like, hey, ChatGPT, is it a good idea to build a niche site? What are the pros and the cons and such and such? And it was giving advice that I think was not very good. It was like, yeah, go for it. Like, you could do it. It could be a little bit hard, but you can make a full-time income if you build an affiliate site and use SEO, which I don't know anyone giving that advice at this point in time. Fuck, even the people trying to that used to sell courses and products in that area, they're not even saying that, right? Like, it's just no one's buying that and no one's trying to sell that idea. But AI is like, sure, give it a shot, which is interesting. And it must be the same deal in other industries and other places where if you don't know what's going on and you're like, hey, is it a good idea to do X? AI may say, yeah, it's a good idea. You know, here's some pros and cons. Sounds totally reasonable, but give it a shot. So I don't know. And obviously there's many different AI tools out there. And all that to say, I have an open mind and I'm sure I'll flip-flop again and say, yes, AI is a great idea for these new AI overviews, or if you use this specific tool or whatever, then you're going to be all right. But, you know, at this point, I'm trying to limit it and I'm not trying to solve the same kind of business problems. I think one, you know, great way to use AI is as like a sounding board. And it could be for, you know, I have a business idea and let's go back and forth. That said, I think you need to make sure AI isn't just encouraging you because it just wants to be positive. I've heard of people saying that. It's like, yeah, AI is just going to tell you kind of what you want to hear. But one that I would caution folks on, and I have to cough. I want to take a sip of beer and then I'll cough. Hold on. I don't know. Maybe it's totally valid, but I feel like maybe it's not a great thing when people are like, you know what? I use AI to be like my therapist and friend. And hell, I don't know. Maybe it's a great way to use it, but I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I suspect before too long, there's going to be ads in the AI feed. Are there already ads in the AI feed? I don't use it that much. But if you start revealing too much information, you're going to see some ads. I mean that's exactly what Google does, right? So it's just going to go that route, which, now that I'm saying out loud, completely obvious, right? We have all these Google tools. AI can probably parse that stuff. We got the Gmail and whatever. I mean, they know everything already. But yeah, I don't know if it's a great thing to use AI as your friend and therapist and that kind of thing. But my mind is still open. Obviously, a lot of people use AI. There's great use cases out there, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I witnessed in myself some additional laziness in the brain power and intellectual area. And that's an area I want to keep a little sharper. So I was like, let's use AI tools for the things that they might be good for and kind of leave it out for things that probably I could do a little bit faster, better in my brain. And even if I can't, maybe it's better to keep those skills active versus letting your smarts atrophy. So I feel my voice getting a little scratchy. So maybe it's a good time to end here. If you have any show ideas or questions, shoot me an email, feedback@doug.show. And I think maybe I forgot to put it on who knows how many different podcast episodes, but I do have a Google Voice number that you could leave a voicemail. And I would recommend, if you have a question, make it between like 60 and 90 seconds. Early on in the podcast, many people, they left a voicemail and I could play it on there and answer it. So show ideas. And you can just shoot an email if you don't want to record your voice or whatever. But like I said, aim for like 60 to 90 seconds. Keep it tight. It'll cut you off after some point. I don't know what the time limit is, but if you start rambling, you're gonna run out of time. So write it down, practice it, keep it tight, and maybe I'll play it on a show.